From a warm spot in the cockles of my heart, in the darkest recesses of my mind, it's Joculation with your host, LB Faust. Joculation is an interactive social broadcast hosted by the cultural attaché to the SARS and ringmaster of the shit show himself, LB Faust. It features original satire, comedy, punk rock, and humorous bits every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. To experience Joculation in its entirety, listen live on mspwaves.com or join the audience in the Circle of Intimacy on the Peace, Abundance, and Liberty Discord server every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. Due to copyright restrictions, all segments which feature music from other artists and performers have been removed from this recording. On with the show. You know, kids, one of the things that I came to realize is, like, this Angel's Envy bourbon over here, it just goes by way too quick. It's like, as I'm sitting here listening to that opening song, which, by the way, great choice there, LP. That was an excellent four-minute song. I mean, we don't hear that in punk rock music. You know what I'm saying? So where was I? Yeah, I was talking about the Angel's Envy over here. It, like, has been going so fast because it's so smooth. Now, I'm not going to get messy like Pig was. Because what I love about Pig is he'll sit there and he'll be like, you know, I think I'm getting drunk over here. And I have, like, a thought about Butt Plugs and Pigging by Nine Claws. Nine Claws, would you please come over here and give me the butt plug with your ivory dildo and some butt plugs and some pigging? That would be fantastic. And I'm just kind of sitting here saying, hey, has the show devolved to a place that is substantially awesome because of drunkenness?
How about new?
Yeah, I know. Am I rehashing last week's episode? I think so. So, kids, we went in and we had a talk last week just to let everybody else who's come into the new world of Joculation or come back to join us or whatever, go ahead and know last week we had a big announcement. Unfortunately, life has decided to take a different turn for LP. And, kids, I'm going to have to go ahead and say, we've got three episodes, including tonight, of the Circle of Intimacy. You know how it is. Just hug each other for a minute.
One of us, okay? That's one of us. Google Gobble, one of us. We accept that one of us. Google Gobble, one of us. We accept that one of us.
It just is what it is, and we're not going to go ahead and get sad and somber about it, because, I mean, is that really going to do anything, Carlos? I mean, is that going to help us out?
No.
Absolutely not. So, live stream, unfortunately, I can't continue to do. However, Joculation, the podcast, will continue. So, enough of that. We're not going to go ahead and talk and get sad and hold each other closely and dry each other's tears and just talk about not letting go and reliving the Titanic scene because, I mean, does that really accomplish anything?
How about new?
And nobody's really come here for that. They've come here for other things. ALP, you got a whole lot of dick songs, so go ahead and put in the catalog over there? I don't know, man. We'll have to go ahead and see. But kids, I'll tell you, since we last spoke and since we last talked, right, a lot of events have transpired in the world, and we have a lot of differences of opinion and all that sort of stuff. However, you know, Putin's kind of feeling a little lonely over there, feeling a little all by himself, feeling a little ostracized like other little dictators in the world. So last week I talked about potentially having a show where we could go ahead and do requests and dedication songs, and I'll tell you what. Hey, Putin, this one's for you. Comes from your good friend, Kim Jong-un. Oh, such a beautiful, beautiful tribute from a fellow dictator. You know what I'm saying? It's awesome. So, hey, listen, when the war goes on and rages, I mean, like, just stop and think for a second. What do you do when you're sitting in the Ukraine and basically the world's coming to an end? What do you do when effectively you're going to get steamrolled by a massive military coming in? Of course, you know, what winds up happening is the government is never going to go ahead and stop actually taxing you. You know what I'm saying? So, of course, wars always provide opportunities for those enterprising enough to stoop low enough to take them, right? I mean, after all, who needs an aftermarket car junkyard when you can just become like the new avant-garde Nicolas Cage God of War, minus all the Elvis fetishism and cockroach eating while method acting? You know what I'm talking about? Of course you do. Because why? Because now, apparently, on YouTube, there's videos of gypsies stealing the abandoned Russian war tanks and everything. And, you know, absconding with them over into the freaking, netherworld. And the funniest part about it is, of course, this has become quite an enterprising young thing to do. So much so that now it appears as though the Ukrainian authorities have said they're going to carve out a special tax exemption for people who go ahead and steal Russian tanks and part them out.
I mean, what the fuck?
It's refreshing to know that the administration doesn't stop in the middle of World War III to go ahead and find a way to exploit you, the customer, the citizen, to go ahead and get as much tax revenue out of you as possible. So, on the agency's website, a document in Ukrainian dated Monday said that seizure of tanks or equipment would be considered a, quote, manifestation of unity and cohesion of the Ukrainian people in the fight against the invaders that would not be taxable. However, there is no need to declare that the captured Russian tanks and other equipment because the cost of this does not exceed 100 living wages. Let's just break that down for a second, right? Hey, it's not taxable unless, of course, you exceed the minimum threshold. Then we're going to have to send the tax collectors out betwixt all the RPGs and shelling that's going on right now to make sure that you pay your fair share. Are we all on the same page here? Do we understand?
Did I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
Good to know that world wars don't go ahead and exempt you from your fucking fair share, allegedly.
I mean, what the fuck?
I would think that you got, like, bigger fish to fry and shit rather than going after a bunch of gypsies absconding with a fucking tank here and there, okay? And parting it out for, like, I don't know, steel or whatever it is that they're going to do. I mean, how much does a fucking tank go for on the open market at this point in time? I have no idea. I'm just curious because at one point in time, like back over in the 90s when the Soviet Union dissolved and Russia was barely holding it together, there were, like, nuclear, you know, freaking submarines for sale, and I think they were selling one for, like, about 8 or 10 million, some shit like that on one of the websites, and I'm thinking, if only we had Bitcoin. Look at that. See, Uncle Bonehead's like, okay, I've had enough. I'm depressed. I'll see you later. I'm out the door. Hey, Bonehead, take care. Talking to you later, man. So there you go. And, of course, who's going to make up for all this stuff, you ass nine? Hey, listen, Loud and Proud can take care of that, right? You can get your fill of dick and fart jokes over there, but we'll talk about that later in the show. So, you know, of course, enterprising people, how do you go ahead and finance and fund a war? That's the million-dollar question, right? Can a person do it on tanks alone? Probably not. So you've got to come up with new and innovative ways to go ahead and actually get that. What you could do is you could just go ahead and perhaps support Ukraine by going ahead and partaking in some of their, like, NFTs and shit that they're putting out there. See, kids? So, like, the use of cryptocurrencies has soared in the Ukraine over the past several weeks, with Bitcoin trading at a 6% premium on Binance's Ukrainian market. So far, 42.9 million has been donated to the Ukrainian government, according to data provided by Elliptic. Now, Ukraine's embrace of digital assets as a way to fund its armed forces comes after it raised approximately $200 million in, quote, war bonds, according to the Financial Times. Now, Ukraine has abandoned plans to reward crypto donors and will instead issue its own collection of NFTs in order to fund the war with Russia.
I mean, what the fuck?
Dude, are you kidding me? You're going to fucking buy your guns and fund your war by saying, hey, I got a couple of Bored Apes here for you to go ahead and take a look at. I mean, hey, listen, man.
Who the fuck thinks this is popcorn time?
I'm all for seeing how this whole thing plays out. Now, Uniswap has allowed listed tokens on its site to be swapped into Ethereum and donated to Ukraine in a single transaction. Now, an NFT of a pixelated smoking man wearing a blue bandana and sunglasses from a popular collection called CryptoPunks is now worth around $200,000 and was also sent to Ukraine's crypto wallet this week, according to the Financial Times. And, of course, you know, you've got, like, Ron over there. He might be a little upset, you know
what
I'm saying?
Fuck you fucking fuckers!
Ron shouting at me in the microphone, bro, knock it off with Ukraine already, okay? Yeah, I really literally picture that Jeff Bridges photo. Well, I don't drink white Russians. I mean, that should be obvious. I mean, do we really go for that sweet, creamy bullshit? I'm kind of wondering, Carlos.
No.
Yeah, tell him again, Carlos. Do we go ahead and actually drink that shit?
Mm-mm,
I mean,
no.
You know, it was funny because years back, I had a friend. I would go to this particular Dave and Buster's back in the day when I was a single man, and I was talking to my friend after my first divorce. And, of course, I'm talking to my friend at the bar, and I'm like, dude, Sal, what do you do if a guy comes up to you and he says, hey, listen, I'd like to go ahead and get an Almond Joy. And he looks at me and says, listen, dude, when I'm talking to a guy, right, I'm thinking like daiquiris, pina coladas. If you're in a tropical setting, it makes sense. The other night, this guy comes over to me and he's like, hey, listen, I'll take an after six. He's like, we got an excellent beer menu, sir. So, no, I don't do no White Russians. I'm just saying. That was a long-winded way of saying that. Where was I? Yeah, let's get back to the show. So, how do you go ahead and do this sort of thing, right? We're talking about planning and financing a war through NFTs. Well, I mean, like, when you're fighting impossible odds against an overwhelming superior military, aside from, like, selling NFTs and, like, shit coins and, like, third world country fanboy memorabilia to keep the spitwads flowing, there's just, like, one option left, right? To keep this insurgency dream alive. Who better to lead the ragtag band of insurgents than a grizzly seasoned veteran from Tyler Durden's Space Monkeys, from Project Mayhem, and posthumous ghost, you know, co-star of Operation Latte Thunder. I mean, kids, where in the fuck is Robert Paulson when you need him? You know what I'm talking about, kids? Oh, yeah. Robert Paulson, baby.
And I would do anything for love. I'd run right into hell and back. I would do anything for love. I'll never lie to you, and that's a fact.
You notice how, like, you know, Bonehead ran out the door right before the Meatloaf started playing? It's like he went ahead and actually sensed a tremor in the force. Like there was some going on, and he's like, I got to get the fuck out of here. He's going to play Modern Girl. And, hey, Carlos, did we play Modern Girl at all? I'm just going to
No, no, no.
No, man, we were doing a tribute. Uh-oh, Darcigo leveled up. Fuck, let me go ahead and get a drink over here. Hold on a minute, kids. It's okay. So at any rate, he just, like, ran out of here because he sensed it back in his prostate gland. He said, you know what? Holy shit. They're going to play Modern Girl. I got to get the fuck out of here. Either that, or he was just running out of here to run out of here. But that being said, did we go ahead and play Modern Girl there? I'm just kind of wondering.
No, no, no.
Absolutely not. Instead, we went ahead and played I Would Do Anything for Love because it was a Robert Paulson tribute, right? Both Robert Paulson's dead and Meatloaf's dead. So we did a tribute to him. But I'll tell you something, right? When you're training insurgents, Robert Paulson, you can't sit there and actually go ahead and train them the way that you normally would. And I mean, probably what you got to do is it's not going to be Project Mayhem. You're not going to be doing, you know, Operation Latte Thunder. You're going to be doing something incredibly special and important and meaningful. So we got to go ahead and make sure that we've got safety at the forefront of everything. We got to make sure people understand how to do stuff. We got to make sure we got a plan because before you know it, some asshole is jamming some dynamite up his ass, kind of like this guy, and blowing and absolutely blowing his ass off of the back of his body and surviving. You know what I'm saying?
Because, I mean, what the fuck?
Dude, where do we get these fucking people? See, training, kids, training is important, okay? So a man had to seek medical treatment after shoving a dynamite-like device into his ass and detonating it.
I mean, what the fuck?
That's almost as good as the guy who we talked about a couple months ago that shoved a mortar shell that he found sitting there from World War II up his ass, and they had to call the bomb squad in to fucking remove it. But I digress, okay? So he shoves this up his ass, and he detonates it. And, of course, it was accidental, right? So this case reports a patient who had a multi-system genitourinary and rectal trauma, you think? After self-detonation of an explosive in the rectum and managed with reconstructive surgery without any post-operative complications. He inserted a dynamite-like small explosive into his rectum and fired it. After the initial operation, he was referred to our hospital for genitourinary reconstruction, and he had a colostomy in a large hole with a diameter of 10 centimeters in that region. And I'm like, dude,
I mean, what the fuck?
10 centimeters. Listen, for those of you that are on the English system here in America saying, what the fuck is 10 meters or 10 centimeters? Dude, that's like 20 inches fucking wide. Actually, I take that back. That's like 5 inches fucking wide, right? It's about 2.54 centimeters to the inch. So you got to think about that, right? A 5-inch fucking hole in this guy's ass. So his ass was small. And then he went ahead. LP just played a song. It was one of my jams in the mid-90s. Oh, damn. Dream it. You never want to admit to that stuff. So we're talking about a guy who now has a 5-inch hole as his ass, right? and he went in for reconstructive surgery. I mean, talk about shitting thunder and a fart heard around the world, man. Out of curiosity, okay, what the fuck did they reconstruct his asshole and taint from? I mean, did they get like a papier-mâché project and like fucking put it together and say, hey, you know what? We don't have any flesh. We don't have anything else. Let's just get some fucking papier-mâché. Let's get the glue and the flour. Hey, hey, look, brand new asshole, brand new taint. Hopefully you don't fuck that one up and go in water too late because I'm like, dude.
I mean, what the fuck?
Where the fuck do you go ahead and rebuild an ass that was blown the fuck away from? How in the fuck did he survive this thing? I'm just curious. A lot of questions, no answers. So the researchers then, of course, pointed out that also while blunt traumas account for up to 95% of damaging bodily penetration, unusual insertions are the major concern, especially when involving the penis or rectum. You think? I mean, holy shit, man. And it made me start to think. 95%, you say, huh? Particularly when involving the penis or the rectum? Huh. I think Chucky Darwin said something that might, you know, that might affect his treatise on, like, natural selection. But really, I mean, how much of a problem could it really be, right? I mean, seriously, how many different things could LP find in the newsfeed that is all people jamming shit up their ass and up inside their urethra? Do we think that maybe, just maybe, you know, LP might have a few? I mean, without even looking, what do I find? Man tries to smuggle 900 grams of gold up his ass due to, like, suspicious movement. He's caught doing this, and I'm just like, dude.
I mean, what the fuck?
Okay, listen. Jamming some gold up your ass, I mean, that's pretty extreme. Trying to sneak it through. What you got to think about, surgery picks, I will be banned. Reconstruction is a very technical process. Listen, Mariano, I'm not really interested in how they reconstruct taint and anal and, you know, like and a rectum. Really not. Don't care about the technical parts of it. I'm just like, dude, there was a lot of material that was blown away by an explosive that prematurely detonated. I mean, the only thing you got left is what, paper mache? That's really it. Hey, plaster of Paris, let's go ahead and like mold somebody else's ass and like graft it to him. I mean, how the fuck do you even do this? But that being said, so Mahmoud Sharif was, quote, moving suspiciously when cops at the Imphal airport in southern India decided to give him a friendly thing, I mean a checkup. What they found was less 007 than the man with the golden bum. So Mr. Sharif was told he only became a person of interest to the Central Industrial Security Force because of his, quote, suspicious movement. Officials found Sharif was hiding over 900 grams of gold in paste form via his rectum. Let me just stop there for a second. First off, 900 grams, you're probably asking yourself, hey, I'm not in one of those places that uses the metrics. What does that mean? Dude, that's like 2 pounds of gold he shoved up his ass. Dude,
I mean, what the fuck?
I don't know about you guys, right? But if I'm sitting there and I have this tremendous shit that I've got to go ahead and take, I'm going to move suspiciously too. And if it's about 2 pounds of shit that's sitting inside of the prison pocket, jammed up in that little part in your rectum there, you know, looking like eggs, exactly, Gabriel, like you're going to go ahead and shit out a velociraptor or something like that, getting ready to nest. I mean, how would you not move suspiciously? It would feel like, could you imagine he's pinching his cheeks together desperately so that these eggs don't like get just like harpoon and just jettison out of his fucking rectum like he's doing a show over in Thailand with ping pong balls and a stripper. I'm just saying he's probably moving suspicious, grabbing a hold of stuff. His fucking gut has got to be killing him. And he's like, if only I can make it just over to that, to just pass the fucking inspector. Hopefully they don't give me the jelly finger. Maybe I'll go ahead and make it to home base, right? And of course, now let's talk about the other part. It was a golden paste, right? Paste. Let's just put that in air quotes. Paste. Dude, let me tell you something, okay? If you happen to have 2 pounds of gold commingled with your shit that's inside your rectum, that ain't paste. I'm just saying. It ain't paste, all right? You could go ahead and be a little bit plugged up. Maybe you took some Imodium AD with it, and you're going ahead and trying to hold it in there as best as you can, going ahead and creating some geological formation inside your rectum. But it ain't no fucking paste. You know what I'm saying? As you walk away for a second and you come back to the best shit being said. I'm just saying, dude, that ain't fucking paste. What that is constipation. It's golden constipation. You know what I'm saying, kids? But that being said, the best part is, you go ahead and hear the eyewitness reports. I was the most person. What in the fuck? No, wrong. So, Kerala is a hotbed of smuggled gold. Apparently, this is a problem. Yeah, look at you. Putting up shit from, like, you know, Willy Wonka's chocolate factory and stuff like that. Hey, listen, Mariano. These ain't no fucking golden eggs from the Willy Wonka chocolate factory, okay? You're not going to crack them open and get some delicious chocolate out of them. I'm just saying. So, yeah, apparently Corral is a hotbed of people shoving gold up their ass. So, apparently what happened is there have been cases and arrests which are frequent. Like last year, if you think this guy's special, another man from India tried to walk through Kerala's Kanyar Airport with a shocking 7 bars of gold he shoved up his ass.
I mean, what the fuck?
How the fuck do you take 7 bars of gold and shove them up there at your ass? I mean, I'm sure we probably should have had Pig on the show so that we could have some sort of a discussion, maybe some demonstration or something like that. Maybe even 9 could go ahead and help work out and show the logistics of and how one even begins to. I don't know. But what I'm saying is 7 fucking bars of gold? Dude, how on earth do you stick that up your ass and get through customs? Because, I mean, let me tell you something.
Anybody having fun around here? Anybody think that this is popcorn time?
Dude, you've got to have the sphincter that is just absolutely elastic. I'm talking about, listen, gay guys everywhere are going to be sitting there saying power bottom. You know what I'm saying? That's the only way I can think that you go ahead. When you're trying to smuggle, like, you know, 18 eggs of that are like 2 pounds of gold in your ass, that's hard enough, right? But when you're taking like 7 bars of gold, jamming them up your ass one at a time, I'm just like, where in the fuck do you even have the space for that kind of thing? I know. Hey, LP, don't get drowned in the details there because you probably don't want to know. And you know something? I'm inclined to agree with you on that. So we've understood that there are people jamming gold up their ass, right? And, of course, 95% of the trauma, which comes from unusual things like, you know, anal and penis penetration and stuff like that, it's very uncommon, right? What are the odds that LP could find another story involving anything related to anal and penis trauma because it's just so fucking unusual? Well, you know, there's also this dude who got rushed to the emergency room after ramming AA batteries inside of his penis.
Because, I mean, what the fuck?
You know, apparently what happens is it's so common to be sitting around and doing nothing that you just look at AA batteries and say, I kind of wonder, do you think they'll fit? Because whatever, dude, right? So apparently this dude was bored one night and he was rushed into emergency surgery after making the peculiar decision to shove a battery in his penis and he couldn't get it back out. Now, let's just stop there. Let's imagine. Let's just go ahead and cast our brain out there and say, you know, maybe we're bored one night. Maybe the boredom is just so overwhelming that we've got absolutely nothing better to do. And that AA battery over there makes us begin to wonder. Right? And I start to go ahead and open up the urethra and try to work it in there. I'm just curious, right? Have you ever gone ahead and taken your tongue and jam both ends of a 9-volt battery against your tongue and felt the electric shock and burn that comes out of that? I would imagine that by the time you get the negative terminal in there and the positive terminal is just starting to be consumed by the tip of your dick and your urethra, that all of a sudden that shock and burn would probably just make you sit
there. Fuck you fucking fuckers!
Get this shit out of me, right? But did our friend over here, our compatriot, our 49-year-old, like, I don't know, candidate for the Darwin Awards, was he absolutely just pushed away from this? Just complete antipathy. Never thought about going any further. I mean,
how about new?
No, because we've got to go ahead and have some brave soul out there show us what the Darwin Awards are really about. Reach and grasp for the moon. Be that memorable person that cleared the gene pool of those useless people that we just don't want anymore. So our friend over here, what did he wind up doing? It's understood the battery had been in his penis for over a day until he finally showed up at a hospital moaning about obstructive urinary symptoms. A day? A fucking day?
I mean, what the fuck?
Dude, how much water did you drink? You would be sitting there ready to fucking explode, and you just sat there and said, no, I kind of enjoy this burning sensation in my dick. And not only that, I can't go ahead and take a piss. I mean, they even tell you to go ahead and piss out, like, kidney stones. But our friend here, he wanted to be a trooper. So, where was I? There's where I am. So the medical team went ahead and said that urethral foreign bodies, it's understood the battery had been there for over a day, right? The battery was removed without surgery after 24 hours. How the fuck did they do that? I mean, could you imagine them just sitting there with some forceps, just going right into the urethra, digging around and trying to grab that thing and pull it out? And holy fucking shit, man. So, now the medical team said the urethral foreign bodies are quite rare, according to urology case reports. Oh, really? Because here's the thing that's kind of interesting in that same report, right? It goes on to discuss a similar case. So in 2016, mind you, kids, we're on story three of, hey, these things are so fucking rare. Story three, right? In 2016, a dude stuck a metal stainless steel chopstick in his penis after he started to pee blood and decided to inspect his own equipment because...
I mean, what the fuck?
Dude, what in the fuck are you doing, okay? First off, how do you have the wherewithal to go ahead and grab stainless steel fucking, chopsticks and kind of like... fish around inside your urethra of your dick. I mean, what am I doing, man? I'm wasting all of my time. When I get bored, I find other hobbies to do. I don't go, you know something? I'm pissing blood. I got a great idea. How about I just go inside there and root around with a fucking stainless steel chopstick? Because that never fucking crosses my mind, you fucking idiots.
Fuck you fucking fuckers.
Holy shit. So, at any rate, why did he do this? Well, let's go ahead and find out, okay? He was too shy to visit the doctor about the issue and decided to run his own diagnostics with an 18-centimeter, that's a 7.9-inch stainless steel chopstick. What are you fucking doing? He thought his urethra was broken, so he inserted the tip of the chopstick into his penis just to check. But after ramming it further up his member, let me say that again, he decided to check. By ramming it up his fucking member, he couldn't get it back out again. Gee, I wonder why. So, he did what everybody would do. I got a great idea. Let me tug on the stick. And it caused massive amounts of pain. Do you think? So, he eventually gave it up and visited the Yonghang District 5th People Hospital. And I'm just like, you know something, kid? I'll tell you what, you're doing God's work.
Woo!
Do us a favor, keep doing that, clean out the gene pool a little bit, because we just got to make sure that you don't reproduce. And I know what you're saying, kids. You're like, all right, that's what, like four stories? LP, you probably went ahead and, and hit the limit of the number of stories that you could find within a two-hour period. And what I would say is...
how about new?
Because we've got to go ahead and have it for... you can't just end on a chopstick story when there's a 37-year-old virgin who gets a 6-foot string stuck in his dick during a botched sex game because...
I mean, what the fuck?
Those are the kind of games that we all play, right? I'm just kind of...
how about new?
What are you doing with a fucking 6-foot string? Much less trying to jam it in your dick. I would have figured that after, like, maybe, say, the first 5 inches, you'd say, okay, this hurts a little bit. Let me stop. But no. Hey, listen, persistence, brother. I hear you, okay? The 37-year-old virgin made the world wince after getting 6 feet of string lodged in his dick during a botched attempt at sexual gratification.
I mean, what the fuck?
The phallic fiasco began after the unnamed kingster inserted a long nylon string used for beads into his urethra while, quote, fully erect and watching a pornographic video. Were they interviewing Pig? I'm just curious. That being said, this was reportedly the patient's first time performing such a feat, and we believe that for a second.
How about new?
Yeah, he probably went ahead and did a couple of smaller ones, but that's okay. We're not judging. We're just laughing. So, although he reportedly masturbated and watched porn every day, the man subsequently reported to a hospital in a certain place after experiencing troubling symptoms that included difficulty urinating, passing blood in his urine, and severe abdominal pain lasting for 2 hours. It sounds like he took a Viagra with it because he might have had an erection that persisted for 4 hours or more. Unfortunately, he went ahead and had 6 feet of string shoved inside of his dick because, I don't know, maybe he was just fucking bored or something. You know what I'm saying, kids?
Anybody having fun around here? Anybody think that this is popcorn time?
Now, the question is, what in the hell is causing people to do this stupid shit? Well, scientists have also blamed sounding, which is a sexual proclivity defined by sticking foreign bodies into one's urethra. I'm just thinking, like, what? A fucking pig whistle, right? You could just, or bird whistle. You could just put a bird whistle inside there. I don't know. I don't know. But that being said, in a similar incident this past August, and if you're keeping track, this is number 5, which we covered a few months back. A man, a randy gentleman in Michigan, got 6 kidney beans stuck in his urethra during a bizarre attempt to self-pleasure. And if you're wondering, what in the fuck was this guy doing? No worries. I can tell you. He apparently was cramming kidney beans in so that he could masturbate and hopefully fire them out of his dick. And, yeah.
Woo!
So, kids, the moral of the story here is, if you're looking for an alternative way to raise funds for your war, stick to NFTs. Don't try to smuggle gold and shove shit inside of your fucking penis because, yeah, you know, things are going to work out badly. I'm just saying, if any of the stories tonight have gone ahead and shown us anything, it's don't do it. All right, kids, I'm going to take a break here because, well, I'm parched. And, you know, that's the way it goes because I'm awfully loud, or at least that's what I'm told. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural agitator of the stars, ringmaster of the shit show. You're listening to Joculation. Wow, nothing like no okay. Hey. Let's not jump ahead now. Let's go ahead and just follow the program there, Spotify. Hey, kids, it's Friday night. It's LP Faust. You know how it is. It's our countdown to the final show, or at least the final live stream here over on MSP. And the Circle of Intimacy is out there tonight. Hey, good to have you.
One of us, okay? That's one of us. Google Gobble, yeah, one of us. We accept that one of us. Google Gobble, one of us.
So we went ahead and did in the first part of the show, we sat there and we talked about the war that was raging over in the Ukraine, that we needed Robert Paulson really badly because, I mean, Robert Paulson would be the man to go ahead and make sure that this war, this insurrection goes on, you know? No, we're not going to listen to that again because is there a spot for Meatloaf on this show, aside from...
How about new?
Of course not, kids. So it is what it is. LP's trying to tell us he's under an NDA. Oh, my God. Let the conspiracy theories rain down. So then on top of that, we went ahead and talked about all the wonderful things like different orifices. A dude who went ahead and blew up a stick of dynamite in his ass for the fart heard around the world. We talked about reconstructive papers and paper mache surgery so that he could go ahead and get his taint in his ass, like, you know, sorted out and put back together so long as he stays away from a puddle of water. And then, of course, we went into all of the mysterious things because they're so fucking rare and so fucking uncommon that we've got, what, 6 stories that we lined up of people doing stupid things, shoving foreign objects up their ass and inside their dick for, like, irreparable damage. And it was just like, hey, you know what? I don't think necessarily that that's actually true. And, you know, of course,
how dare you?
People get very sensitive when you start talking about that sort of stuff. So, kids, where do we go from here? That's the big question, especially with, like, half the show already gone. Well, I'll tell you what, kids. We sit here and we talk about weird kinds of things that are out there, right? So, of course, when the war is raging and inflation's happening, and of course people will say, inflation, what are you talking about, LP? I don't see no inflation.
No.
Dude, I was like at the store today going, how much are you charging for whiskey? What the fuck happened here? Oh yeah, there's a war raging on. But what does that have to do? Never mind. So that being said, and by the way, the VIX is awesome, kids. That being said, in this day and age of going ahead and making things stretch out, right? Even the super elite and fashionable are out there trying to go ahead and make things stretch out, right? They're trying to show that they're more, I don't know, green than other people are, more sustainable, so much so that Balenciaga is now taking damaged iPhones and they're putting their show invites on there, and it's like,
I mean, what the fuck?
Dude, if somebody was to give me an invite to a fashion show on a busted iPhone, I'm not sure how I would take that. So Balenciaga has decided to send invites to their fall-winter 2022 runway show to be held on March 6, 2022, which none of you are invited. But, you know, at 11:30 a.m. Central CET, whatever the fuck that is, on a cracked iPhone 6. Instead of a traditional invite with paper and pen, the outdated iPhones are engraved with the date, time, and location.
I mean, what the fuck?
Well, according to Balenciaga, I guess it is, the broken iPhone is a, quote, genuine artifact and a sustainable approach to sending invites using using junk instead of fresh paper. Fans, however, Peachy, you might want to pay attention, right? Fans, however, weren't excited about the invitation because they questioned the sustainability motto of the invite and asked how tech waste, as an invite, was on an approach to sustainability. Which is a valid question, right? They looked at it and said, dude,
fuck you fucking fuckers!
What are you fucking doing? You might as well go ahead and just take the used toilet paper and the feces on it and just, like, you know, use watercolors or whatever and try to go ahead and paint me an invitation with your feces. It's more sustainable. You know what I'm saying there?
Whoa!
Probably not, because that was a pretty big stretch. But, you know, it's about the same. I mean, you know, the best part about this whole thing is that when you look at what's inside of these things, people in India are basically taking these things apart, and they're sitting in piles of trash, and they're using reagents that'll fucking kill them with no protective equipment whatsoever just to pull the silver and gold out of them. Okay, that's how valuable some of this e-waste is. And there's mountains of this shit over there everywhere, killing fucking millions of, well, let's say thousands of people that are doing this shit every day because they've got no other use for it. They can't. There's no other way for them to make a living and stuff like that. Reusing tech waste? I don't know. You should probably recycle. Maybe not by going ahead and giving these people reagents to kill themselves with over in a pile of garbage in India, but you should probably go ahead and, I don't know, take the chips and shit like that. Quick side note, kids. Why are we so concerned about chips? Because, in the event that you did not know why this war is so significant, there is one place in the world where the lasers are made to actually print the boards that these chips are put on. And every country in the world that does any kind of chip development buys these lasers from the Ukraine. I'm kind of wondering, given the chip shortage that we have now, where the fuck are we going to go ahead and actually get the lasers, much less the chips and the semiconductors? I'm kind of wondering out loud, so maybe what we should do is, I don't know, cannibalize them from the fucking phones instead of sending them as invite. Because, I mean, you never know, right? Somebody could sit there and say, oh, yeah, man, we're giving you an invite to a fashion show. This isn't shady at all, you know, kind of like when they're harvesting organs and shit like that. They might not try and harvest your kidneys and shit like that. But the next thing you know, you might be invited to, like, a dogging party over in the family-friendly forest of Winnie the Pooh for a fucking sting. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, what the fuck?
So if you're not familiar with what dogging is public sex over in places like Britain and all of that. And so Ashdown Forest in East Sussex is known the world over for being the inspiration for A.A. Milne's 100-acre wood for Winnie the Pooh stories. And police have now urged people engaging in, quote, acts of sexual nature not to visit the Sussex beauty spot anymore because it's so dogged by the behavior of doggers that police have had to issue a fucking warning. They said, stop fucking Winnie the Pooh in the ass. No, they didn't say that. What they said is, the Ashdown Forest is a beautiful place visited regularly by families and people relaxing and unwinding. We remind visitors that this wonderful space and the surrounding car parks should not be the location for acts of a sexual nature amongst consenting adults. Those engaging in those acts should be arrested and charged with outraging public decency. Do you understand? basically what they're saying is, kids,
fuck you fucking fuckers,
stop fucking over in the goddamn park where Winnie the Pooh is at. People are bringing their like toys and plushies over here. And if you recall, like 2 years ago, we talked about a guy that was sexually assaulting all those dolls that he was stealing from the fucking like Disney stores before COVID happened, right? So could you imagine poor little Winnie the Pooh over here, somebody going to go and get some inspiration from Winnie the Pooh? They're sitting there. It's a nice, beautiful afternoon. They brought out a picnic blanket. They're, you know, they're there with the kids. It's a beautiful summer day. Car pulls up, goes into the hedges there. The next thing they know, they hear some grunting and some groaning, and some guy comes out screaming in pain because he's got a AA battery shoved up his dick that he can't go ahead and jerk off and blast out of his penis. I mean, come on, dude. Let's go ahead and bring it back to a family-friendly atmosphere. All right? We can't be sitting here having you do shit like stick explosives in your ass and blow them up over there. We can't have you having public sex over there. You can't bring your sex dolls, your harem of flake plastic that you've got to go ahead and sanitize with Clorox and somehow get all the jizz out of. We can't have you over there doing these kinds of things, okay? There's a time and a place for you to shove six kidney beans in your dick to go ahead and fire out as you try and attempt to ejaculate to it, to like the porn that's gotten you off a million times before. Okay, kids? So what the police would like to tell you over in this lovely town, like the Ashdown Forest in East Sussex, you know, where like Prince Harry and What's-Her-Face are like the prince and princess of, how demeaning is it to be known for having the 100-acre woods and people are dogging, shoving kidney beans in their dicks, shoving AAA or AA batteries up their dick, sitting here in this family-friendly environment? It's repulsive and repugnant, okay? We like to have a little bit of class with a capital K in this place. So don't be doing that shit here. Take it to some other place, okay? I'm sure the Duke and Duchess of Cornwall would appreciate it. So that being said, kids, I'm going to take a break here. Because we're making this shit up as we go along. Because sometimes it's just got to be organic. You know, like when you go out into the fields out there and not getting the cows shit, and it's organic and somehow it's better than spraying chemicals all over it. Something like that. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. What I do know is I'm going to take a break here. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host. Cultural Attitude of the Stars, Ringmaster of the Shit Show this evening. You're listening to Joculation. Wow, kids, and just like that, we've got more than half the show done. Can you believe that, man? We've got, like, I don't know, 50 minutes left, something like that. Basically, it's just, like, a couple of segments, and then all of a sudden it's like, and we'll catch you next week. One of those things. All right, kids, so if you missed the show, most of it, what we talk about, first we had that fantastic dedication from one dictator to another, from Kim Jong-un to good old Vladimir Putin over here. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Why aren't more people intelligent like me? I'm so lonely, so lonely, so lonely and sad, real lonely.
I wouldn't go ahead and bore you like that, because then that would be like me going ahead and going back and talking about things back in the day when we went and had our, like, friends over in Canada going through their stuff, and I played Photograph. You remember that, kids, don't you? No, I'm not going to play Photograph again. And then from there, we went ahead and talked about how we can go ahead and do some enterprising things. How do you go ahead and sustain an insurgency like what's going on in Ukraine? They're selling NFTs. You've got Pussy Riot out there selling NFTs, raised $6.6 million for them. All kinds of stuff like that. And what do you do when you get past that? Well, you go ahead and relax the tax laws so that you can go ahead and let people sell tanks. That's what you do. And that they go ahead and pilfer from the Russian army. And then after that, we went ahead and discussed what all kinds of stuff related to who it is that we need the most in order to get this insurgency going, in order to go ahead and train our people not to blow their asses off with dynamite shoved up their ass to sneak across the line. Who else but Robert Paulson himself? You know who I'm talking about, right, kids? Yeah, Robert Paulson, baby.
And I would do anything for love. I'd run right into hell and back.
Okay, since Bonehead's not here, nobody's really going to appreciate this except Dreamin'. Dreamin', maybe what I'll do is I'll play that song a little bit longer. You know what? I'll tell you what, just for you. just for you for coming back.
I would do anything for love. I'll never lie to you, and that's a fact. But I'll never forget the way you feel right now. Oh no, no way. And I would.
I'm sorry, Dream It. I can't do more than that. That's just the way that it is. And then we took an open, poll about just how many potential possible stories could we come up with in a two-hour period. Right? Won't do. Exactly, Anarchist. How many possible stories could we come up with that could involve, like, those rare instances of blunt force trauma to the, anus and penis that they say are just so incredibly rare? We came up with six, and we went through the whole thing of guy jamming AA batteries down his urethra, the other guy who went ahead and stuck steel chopsticks down his dick because it was bleeding and he needed to check out and make sure that it was okay. We also talked about the guy who tried to smuggle 900 kilograms of gold, which is roughly 2 pounds of gold in his ass. And then the other guy who went ahead and smuggled in 7 bricks of gold up his ass over in this very infamous airport over in, like, India, where everybody seems to like to smuggle gold in their ass. And then we talked about the guy who shoved, like, a 6-foot string up his dick. I mean, obviously, these are very not rare. That's the best way that I could describe it. So we went through all of that sort of stuff, and then we discussed about the sustainable invitations that were being sent, and we talked about the police crackdown on all those filthy fucking people going ahead and doing dogging over in the 100-acre woods because, I mean, let me tell you something, okay?
How dare you?
Offensive, very offensive, right? And, of course, the best way to segue into something else from that is, I mean, you go with the Disney theme, right? What's the best thing you could go ahead and find, LP? Well, how about this one woman who worked as a Disney princess and talks at length about how creepy dads would hand their hotel keys over? I mean,
how dare you?
Dude, nothing says creepy quite like, hey, Tinkerbell, you look kind of hot. Mind if I fuck you later? I'll put the kids to bed. We'll have a little bit of quiet, sexy time, right? I mean, dude.
How dare you?
So, former Disney employee Sarah Daniels gave some insight into her time performing as Tinkerbell while working at Disneyland. Okay? So, she went ahead and said married men often try to give her their hotel keys. The ex-employee who talks about her experience working for Disney on TikTok was asked by a follower if any fathers had hit on her because she was dressed as Tinkerbell, because that's not fucking creepy at all. I feel like if dudes are going to be creeps and hit on you, they're going to hit on you whether you're in character or not. But there were many moments, especially as Tinkerbell, where I had married men hand me their keys to their hotel room and tell me where they were staying. Well, how do we get over to Neverland, Peter? Why, fly, of course. Sarah said, well, usually if I was having an issue, I'd divert them to my character attendant because you're not supposed to say no. So what you're saying is no means it doesn't necessarily mean no in Disney, huh? I'm just saying, man.
How dare you?
Straight up no is not in your vocabulary. And you have to find ways to say no. Usually you divert attention to the character attendant and they'll take care of the creepy dad for you. So viewers were left creeped out by her admission, with one commenting, I cannot process how people even do that. So fucking crazy. But is it really? But is it fucking really? You know, it's funny that you should ask that question, Nine, because, well, not Nine, I'm sorry, Anarchist. There was a guy that I worked with years back when I was working in the aviation industry. And he worked in the wing panel refurbishment part. He actually ran that particular division. And for a while, he actually had worked over at Walt Disney World. And he said to me, you know, I don't tell many people this, but I'll tell you what one of my most awesome moments in life is. I said, oh, yeah, what's that? He said, when I fucked Cinderella in the Swiss Family Robinson treehouse over in Walt Disney World one evening after the park had closed. Ah! I'm like, dude, that's got to be like on the top 10 bucket list. So he's like, yeah, Cinderella was like Miss New Mexico or Miss New Mexico at the time in like, Miss USA pageant or whatever. And, I got to bang her up over inside of the Swiss Family treehouse. I'm like, you know, I don't think you'll ever be able to go ahead and actually replicate that. But I guess in some ways, It's okay because it's a coworker, not a creepy dad that's banging you after hours over inside of the Swiss Family Treehouse, right? See, the problem is that you can't go after it. When you're a dude in a park, right, you got to go ahead and look for certain signs that maybe where you're dealing with somebody who might be game, right? They're just stuck in character, but they might be game. And, I mean, if they're in a Tinkerbell outfit, that doesn't really go ahead and let you know what's going on, right? That maybe they're a they're game for your game. Maybe what you should be looking for is something like this mother who has, like, a ruler tattoo to measure penis sizes tattooed onto her arm so she can go ahead and measure penis size before sex. And I'm just kind of like, dude.
How dare you?
Yes, a ruler tattoo. And, of course, her daughter is absolutely horrified. You know what I'm saying? So, 34-year-old Tracy Kiss from Buckinghamshire opted for a series of visually attractive dots lined up on her elbow, right up to her pinky finger, measuring every inch and a half. So, if you'd like to actually see what that sort of tattoo looks like, here you go, kids. She's happy to go ahead and share that with you, right? And even better, she's got a refreshing bottle of cucumber water to go ahead and use as a comparison. So here you go. So you too can go ahead and get those things. So all Tracy has to do is put her arm next to a partner to figure out a size and attribute the yoga instructor and life coach to, it says she really enjoys knowing about, for imagination purposes, whether or not you're together. Those fingernails. Exactly. Fucking frightening, aren't they? And bright blue. So Tracy describes her ink as being, quote, somewhat discreet but practical design tool to enhance my life. I'm a woman who enjoys pleasure, body confidence, and intimacy, and feel that women have just as much right as men to speak honestly about their sexual encounters. With a personal best of 11 rolls between the sheets in one day, allegedly, Tracy has a high sex drive and knows exactly what she's looking for in a partner. So the former Page 3 girl, which probably says everything you need to know, being single and online dating at present, there seems to be a massive amount of energy at the height of guys as every girl daydreams of a 6-foot-plus prince in shining armor to sweep her off her feet. Whereas, in all honesty, I dream of a 6-inch-plus prince instead. And all I can say is, nearly dead Ric Flair, you, my friend, have captured the essence of what it is, right? And ladies, in the event that you're kind of wondering, as most of us are after reading that, exactly how many calories a woman burns giving oral sex, well, kids, don't worry. There's a website for that right now. You too can go ahead and actually find out how many calories you burn so that you too can work on your fitness goals, very important, in perhaps a more pleasurable way, right? And in fact, in the event that you don't want to read the article, performing oral sex can help you shed more fat than a 23-minute bike ride or a 20-minute yoga session. So, kids, if that is not the reason that you need to really get into oral sex, dig down and dick up, I mean, let me tell you something, kids. 23 minutes on a bike or 20 minutes in a yoga session can't be nearly as fun as oral sex. I'm just saying, kids, okay? So there you go. And always, you know, it is what it is. We try to be helpful on here. We try to give those stories. We try to explain those stories that sort of give back to the community. You know what I'm saying, kids? Of course not. Because I don't know what the fuck I'm saying, because I'm going to go get some whiskey is what I'm going to do. And look at like that. We got like 40 minutes left. The show is just like running out the fucking door. You know how it is. All right, kids, I'm going to take a break here because I really don't have any other materials. So we're going to have to wing it from here. And, you know, I got to go refill my whiskey. So I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, Cultural Attitude of the Stars, Ringmaster of the Shit Show this evening. You're listening to Joculation. Oh, wow. And take a look at that, kids. Just like that, we're down to like less than 30 minutes in the song. And I know you're the show. There you go.
How dare you?
And I'm going to tell you something, Spotify. I have more offensive shit to play now. Just because you went ahead and pissed me off and I realized Dream It's here and we haven't queued up enough dick content. So there's got to be some more dick content in here. You know what I'm talking about, kids? So, yeah, otherwise we're not meeting that threshold, that quota, those things that we've got to go ahead and take care of. But you know something? Can't do that, kids. I got to go ahead and actually say thanks. Thanks to everybody that's showing up. Thanks to everybody that's listening to the podcast. Thanks for everybody that's ever supported the show. Remember, we got two shows left, kids. So I'll tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and see you out the door right before we're going to hit it with the regular thing. I'm LP Faust checking out this evening. Thanks, everybody. Good night. Always remember, William Shakespeare once said, all the world's a stage. As we strut and fret across the stage of life, always be sure to ask yourself why watch the show and you can be the show. Take care. Good night.
Thanks for checking out this episode of Joculation. We hope you enjoyed the episode and encourage you to join us for the live interactive social broadcast every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's also 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. To experience Joculation in its entirety, listen live on mspwaves.com or join the audience in the Circle of Intimacy on the Peace, Abundance, and Liberty Discord server every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's also 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. If you enjoy Joculation, I have another podcast you might like, Everyday Crazy. Search for them and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this right now. If you're listening over a smartphone, tap or swipe over the cover art of the podcast. You'll find show notes which may include details you may have missed and links to my Twitter, Instagram, and Patreon pages. If you'd like to hear more of Joculation and other shows from LP, in addition to extra content, early access, merchandise, and other perks, you can subscribe to my Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/LPFaust. You can also find me on Twitter and Instagram. Please be sure to follow me on Twitter @FaustLP and Instagram @LPFaust. And thank you. Joculation is created, produced, hosted, and edited by me, LP Faust. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.